regular session of the Borough Mayor and Council for Monday, April 8th, 2019. And it's been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to ask everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda, as usually is the approval of our executive session minutes of March 25th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the minutes by Councilman Royas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion was passed unanimously and all council members are present. The reason for the executive session under the Maryland meeting laws was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this public body has jurisdiction, or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. Okay. Next is the regular session minutes of March 25th.
One change, Mayor. Okay. Page 5 of 5, number 9.
Thank you.
It's just an address change for Mr. Walter. I want to make sure we get this right.
Okay.
It should be Powell Circle, not Cape Circle.
Thank you.
Other than that, I have no other changes, sir.
Okay. Does anyone else have any changes?
Motion to approve that.
So we have a motion to approve the March 25th regular session minutes with the change to correct the address of Mr. Walter to Powell Circle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. All right. And we also have the meeting minutes from the work session last Monday, April 5th, which was the general fund work session here at the council chambers.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the general fund work session minutes of April 1st. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Unanimous as well. Number two on our agenda is the proposed basketball program in Henry Park. And I believe that Mr. Miro Small.
Yes.
Kind of written. Yeah. Miro? Yeah. We'll come up and... You're with the Worcester County Recs and Parks, right?
Yes, I'm with Worcester County Rec and Parks, and we're proposing an 8-week basketball program this summer to be held at Henry Park beginning June 8th, running to July 27th.
And would you tell folks a little bit about the program? Because, you know, it's in the packet.
Most all right. Folks here now, with the summer youth basketball program, we're providing the kids of Berlin the opportunity to have a summer league and not have to drive down to Snow Hill, where our department is located and where we usually hold our summer league at. So we're actually bringing it to the kids in the town of Berlin.
And so I guess you assume that and have a pretty good feel that there'd be good participation?
Yes, we've been getting a lot of calls and demands from the parents of Berlin to offer something up in the northern end, and this is us reaching out to those parents.
Okay. Mayor, are you going to actually be...
I will be the manager in charge of the program.
Okay, so yes. You'll be here?
Yes.
Now, let the record show that Monroe is a graduate from Stephen Decatur High School, and he is from Berlin.
Yes, born and raised, grew up right over Flower Street there, so...
Myra, two questions.
Yes.
It says in here that you're going to have goods or something for sale. Could you tell me what that might be?
If I might, that is a reference to the fact that the program does charge a fee for the kids to participate.
Okay.
So it triggers that sale of goods or services.
Gotcha. And Myra, weren't you also the gentleman down at Snow Hill who used to run all the events for the kids down there, the school events?
That is correct.
I thought I recognized yes. you. My son was there. He does run a very good program. Can you keep my son in line? Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
And lived through it.
And one thing I want to confirm is that the hours of this program are 11 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, that's pretty good time.
Now, the $35 cost, does that offset staff time to run the event?
Yes. And we also provide financial aid for the kids who aren't capable of paying $35, which would reduce the $35 by 60%, and they would probably pay in the means of $14 for the 8 weeks.
If I may, the Parks Commission actually reviewed this program. Mr. Small came before them last Tuesday at their regular meeting. They unanimously approved it. The one suggestion that they did have was that the flyer include that information about the availability of a reduced fee.
Yes.
And the need for basketball in our community is great. So with that said, I'd like to make a motion that we approve it.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Brigham to approve the summer basketball program at Henry Park.
Can I add something to that? With the note that you'll put that income information
yes.
on the flyer.
That will go on the final draft before we issue it out to the public.
Thank you.
We have a motion by Councilmember Brigham to approve the basketball program, summer basketball program. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you,
your time. Yep. Good luck. Hope you have a very successful program.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Next, we have two proclamations that are going to be shared with us by Administrative Services Director Mary Bowler.
Mayor, the first proclamation, 2019-06, is an annual proclamation. It's kind of a housekeeping item, recognizing April as Fair Housing Month. It's something that we need to do in order to maintain our status as being eligible for certain grants, and it's simply there as a kind of a placekeeper to remind the community and our organizations about the importance of fair housing. The second proclamation is also an annual kind of housekeeping item that we do, recognizing this year it's April 20th to 27th as Take Pride in Berlin Week.
Does anyone have any questions regarding either one of these proclamations, which we've done for a number of years?
When we do these, do we offer any of the information for people that maybe are experiencing some of the things that might not fall under fair housing?
We do have information, brochures, and flyers downstairs regarding fair housing. If anyone is experiencing issues that might relate to fair housing, we can point them in the right direction for where they need to get additional assistance.
Perfect. Thank you.
If there are no more questions, I'd like to move to approve Proclamation 2019-06 and Proclamation 2019-07.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve both proclamations as presented by Mary Boland. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next is a recommendation about proposed business license code changes.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Staff formed a working group to take a look at our business license process with a couple of things in mind, one of which is we've received a lot of complaints about how kind of cumbersome and confusing the process is. So we were interested in figuring out how to streamline it. We were interested in looking at whether or not the fee was set correctly to cover our costs. And we also wanted to check to see what other potential process changes might be necessary. In that working group discussion, one of the things that became apparent is that there are some issues with people paying or businesses paying their licenses on time. We typically put those bills out end of May. They have about 30 days to pay the bill. Usually that's around the 1st of July. And then the finance department will follow up with additional invoices and phone calls. So while most businesses do pay on time, anywhere between 20 to 25% don't pay on time. And as of the 1st of March, we had about 12% or about 20 businesses have not paid. So that means they don't have a current business license. So the working group came up with a series of recommendations which are reflected in your packet, changes to the code, which we are proposing. And the staff recommendation tonight really is to set a public hearing for May 13th regarding the changes. And those changes would be as follows. Increase the late penalty to the allowable maximum of 24%. This is a phased in. It's not automatically the first time you're late. It's a phased in gradual increase up to the maximum of 24%, which would hit after 90 days. Enable the transfer of unpaid penalties to the business's water bill. Now, this would only work in the case of where the business and the property owner are the same, and we recognize that. But that would subject the late fees and penalties to water bill disconnect. And then make it a misdemeanor infraction if the business fails to obtain or renew a business license. And again, this would kick in at the end of a process where the invoice was late and there had been phone calls and follow-up and some late charges assessed. It wouldn't happen automatically. It would take, you know, probably 3 to 4, maybe 5 months for that process to work its way out. So attach the staff report in your packet. You have a marked-up version of the code changes that we're proposing. And again, the recommendation isn't for you to take any action tonight, but to set a public hearing on the 13th. That would trigger, 13th of May, that would trigger a series of public notifications in advance of that code change. I'm available for any questions. I should mention Ivy, Dave Englehart, Mary Bolin, Natalie, who's not with us tonight, and myself were in this working group. So if you have any questions for any of us, feel free.
Does anyone have any questions for Barb?
No. I do know one reason some of the people might be late is that the state has a block. If you're not paid up on your sales tax, they will not allow you to renew your business.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Maybe that's something else to see how that can coordinate.
Interesting.
I think this is needed because somewhere in here I read that we have this fee, but there's no method of enforcement, and this will give us that opportunity to enforce this regulation. But I think it is this third page from the last page. It talks about post or otherwise published. It is.
We have the section that refers to the ability of the town to publish the names of the people
yes,
who haven't paid.
I think this needs to be just a little stronger because it says the town reserves the right to post or otherwise publish the names of of businesses who fail to comply. I think that should be part of the enforcement, and those names should be posted.
Okay.
Or published.
Right. That's not
I'm going to say published.
Okay. That's not a new change. That language has been in the code.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I understood you correctly, you would suggest making that a mandatory
yes.
step in the process?
Okay. And that's all I have. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, tell me how the misdemeanor part of it's going to work.
Well, I would defer to the town attorney.
They're going to be issued citations.
Okay.
Charging them with a misdemeanor. Then they'll have to go down to the district court. So,
hey, man, we can't hear you back here.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't hardly hear you back here.
I said they'll be charged with a citation requiring them to go to court. down at the district court in Snow Hill.
Would it be difficult the same way that we send out code red announcements? I assume we have the contact information for the businesses that mm-hmm. have licenses. Mm-hmm. Could we inform them that, one, there's being a change made to the business license process, and two, that there will be a public hearing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So just proceed with the...
But I need you to make that motion in order for me to do that.
I'll make a motion that we have a public hearing for the recommendation to increase business license late fees on May 13th, 2019. I assume normal mayor and council meeting.
Okay, we have a motion by council member Pendle to hold a public hearing on the proposed business license late fees and related information on Monday, May 13th, the regular session of the mayor and council. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Next, we'll begin with our departmental reports.
Mary Boland's first.
Okay.
We are the Parks Commission in particular, the Berlin Falls Park Committee, Worcester Youth and Family, Comcast. We're all very busy planning for Clean Up Berlin Day. Comcast is, I think I mentioned this at the last meeting, but I'll repeat. Comcast is hosting their Comcast Cares Day, which their employees are encouraged to volunteer and give back to the community. It's a nationwide event for them. This year, they will be making a donation to Worcester Youth and Family after Comcast Cares Day. We will also, on Cleanup Day, which is April 27th, that might be helpful to mention, hosting the DNR's Backyard Buffer Tree Giveaway. And that's actually a Worcester County event, not just for Berlin property owners, but any property owner who is interested in receiving about 25 free trees can contact me to sign up for that. There are flyers in the back. I hope they're all gone by now. Giving details about that is also on our Facebook page and the website.
Thank you. Next will be our Water Resources and Public Works Director, our supervisor, Jamie Latch.
Yeah, being the mayor and council. Tonight we're working on building some raised beds for some of the parks. I'm also looking to where to install some of the bee boxes in the parks and just getting ready for spring cleanup day. And looks like the grass is starting to grow, so we're going to be mowing some grass. That's all I have. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Jamie?
Quick question. Jamie, will you be able to get out there and power wash those play sets in Stephen Decatur Park? I had some pictures sent over. It looks like it's got mold mildew growing on it. I know it's been very wet recently, but will that be done anytime soon?
Actually, Public Works is repainting some of those pieces. I'm not sure exactly which ones.
Plastic is what I'm talking about, plastic ones.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll make a note and we'll get on to it.
Awesome. Thank you.
On the paths, at the last meeting I mentioned that they need looking into. Some of them are, the roots of the trees are pushing the cork, you know, right up out of the paths.
The rubber, so
they said they were going to look into it.
Okay.
All right. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
I have nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. Next. Police Chief Arnold Downey.
Good evening, everyone. Members of the Berlin Police Department had an opportunity to reach out to the little ones at Coastal Early Learning Center and have a visitation there with children 3 or 4 years old and introduce the police, stranger danger, and some good other topics. They had a blast playing with the police cars this week, and going, we're going to try to touch Head Start next. And we've actually started a partnership with the residents of the Cottage of Berlin. A lot of them are actually homebound, and senior police officer Carl Holland thought of the idea of making sure on Wednesdays that lunches from the church, Stevenson United Methodist, made it over to them if they had their wish so, just so they're, you know, getting inside and letting them know that, hey, somebody's checking on them. And we also had an opportunity to take food boxes last week to them, to 12 residents. So engaging with the community and also just coming up with some great ideas.
Thank you. Any questions for the chief? Next is Planning Director Dave Engelhardt.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I apologize for being tardy. I was attending a meeting at Stevenson United Methodist Church. It was a group of concerned citizens about some apartments that were proposed to be built that was the subject of a case before the last Planning Commission meeting, and they had a lot of, let's say they had a lot of interesting input for me. I went to listen, but I ended up answering a lot of questions, mostly about process and moving forward, what will it take for their voices to be heard, and I expect I'll be getting a lot of phone calls and emails over the next few days. So that's all I have this evening.
All right. Any questions for Dave? Next is Economic and Community Development Director Audrey Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a little bit of a longer list tonight, if that's okay, since it's kind of early. First, I wanted to let you know that the grant that I'm writing for the trash cans, I needed to embellish that slightly, that it's basically a new recycling program for downtown Berlin. We have trash cans downtown, but we don't have any recycling bins, and we don't have any butt cans, cigarette butt cans. And one of the things that I learned at the conference I attended last week was that there's a cigarette butt recycling program, and I see that Ocean City has already put that into process with Maryland Coastal Bay. So that's all included in the grant that I'm writing. So just to clear up any miscommunication on that, wanted to let you know about that. And then also some events that are coming up on this Friday, Arts Entertainment Committee, they're hosting the second Friday. It's the opening season for Maker's Market. So there should be a lot of the shops are staying open, probably music outside. I know that it's the kickstart for the second Friday art stroll, so I think that it should be well attended. So hopefully everyone can come out and make that. Also on April 20th, it's the Berlin Chamber of Commerce Spring Celebration. Lots of kids' activities, egg hunt, parade. It's all free. And then on May 4th is the Jazz and Blues Wine and Brews. Talked about that last time. If you have any questions, ask me or Larnette. The farmers market begins on May 5th. Also wanted to let everyone know that that is a budget neutral event that doesn't cost the town any money at all for the farmers market. And the new location is by on Pitt Street. Pitt Street will be closed to traffic partially. And then it's also going to be behind the J&M meat market. Just added this week, kids activities will be kids crafts every single week starting on May 5th. Got all the live music booked, and so that should be a really nice addition, again, second year for the Berlin Farmers Market downtown. And then we also started an initiative called Made in Berlin. A lot of the shops downtown actually make their items here in Berlin, so you can notice the shops that do have a sticker, a decal on their front window or their door, so people can look for things that are made in Berlin in their shops. And we're also getting ready to start a pet-friendly shop initiative as well. The other thing that I also wanted to say was there was an article written in the newspaper about the Tiffany's ice rink / parking lot. Dave and I met with her this past week. We are going to be working towards the ice skating rink for Tiffany, which is her property is Robin's Nest right there on the corner of Main Street and AAA. So it's gotten a lot of positive feedback. So hopefully you'll hear more about that in the next month or two. And then also, I wasn't here for the last budget workshop, the one that I was supposed to present at. I was on the phone for questions. But what I'd like to publicly say is asking to add the midnight New Year's Eve ball drop back into my budget. My budget, only about $1,000 comes out of my budget to pay for that event. So I would publicly like to request that be added back.
Is the balance from sponsorships?
Pardon?
Is the balance from sponsorships?
That's it on my end. Most of the costs involved with that event comes from staff overtime. I'm salary, so I'm already working, so it's the other staff overtime that's included in that. But from my perspective, it's I pay and book the entertainment for that, and then that's pretty much it. So I'd like to publicly make that statement.
Okay. Any questions for Avi? Next is Jeff Fleetwood, Human Resources.
Mayor and Council, I have one request, and I'm speaking to the audience, I'm speaking to the newspaper, I'm speaking to everybody. We've got the Social Security Administration that will be here in this room on the 18th at 10 a.m. until noon. It is for old, for young, it's for the younger like me. This room holds comfortably 70 people. I can make it fit 70. I'll buy everybody a donut. A cup of coffee. I'd like to have this filled. This guy is coming down from the Philadelphia Wilmington way. So it's open to the community.
What's the date again?
It is on April the 18th. And in order to attend, dial 410-641-2770 and RSVP on how many beating hearts you have in attendance. I really would like to give this gentleman a good Berlin welcome. Social Security.
Well, what about it?
Anything. The whole program, from infancy all the way down to retirement, Social Security as a whole.
Jeff, can you give that number again?
410-641-2770. As of 5 o'clock today, we had 33 people. That includes employees and residents, not only in Berlin, but we had a couple. I ran into Mayor in Ocean City. If your name came up, they said they were coming to Social Security. I said, come on. So,
what time is it?
10 to noon.
I'll make sure that it's on our webpage and Facebook first thing in the morning.
I will supply a donut and coffee and water.
Thank you.
You don't get two.
Any questions for Jeff? All right. Next is our town administrator's report.
Just a couple of things. Natalie wasn't able to be here tonight, but she wanted me to mention that the town has received $3,900 in donations from residents for the energy assistance program. And the town's match is going to be $3,900, which we are sending. So that means we're sending a total of $7,800 to ShoreUp to help electric customers pay their bills. This is the largest contribution since 2011. The program started in 2010, and it's designed to help lower-income citizens receive assistance towards their electric utility bills. And it's our total funds contributed through the initiation of the program is $75,650. Yeah, pretty big stuff.
Could you make sure ShoreUp gets a letter?
Sure. Yeah, sure. We can send ShoreUp a letter. Yeah.
Great.
Just one other item, actually two more. On April 11th at 6 p.m., we're hosting a meeting at Berlin Activities Depot to talk about a stormwater project on Graham Avenue. So in particular, this is going to help reduce flooding in the area of Graham, Grice, Nelson, and Franklin. Tomorrow night, neighbors in that area are going to receive a code red. Today and tomorrow, they're going to receive flyers. We have promoted this in the Berlin Bulletin several times over the last couple of months. For those of you who don't know, Berlin Activities Depot is located at 10008 Old Ocean City Boulevard. And we're doing this meeting in partnership with Coastal Bays. We have a grant of about $75,000 to do this project. And Coastal Bays is helping us put the project together. And I wanted to thank Carmela Salido for hosting us. She's doing that at no cost, which is awesome. She's letting us have the space. So we hope to see you there. Even if you're not in that neighborhood, but you're interested in hearing more about stormwater work the town is doing or this particular project and how it's going to reduce flooding in that neighborhood, we'd love to have you come out. Again, it's April 11th at 6 p.m. at the Berlin Activities Depot. And then lastly, tomorrow and Wednesday, Ivy, Dave, Megan Fowler, who works in water resources, and myself will be at the last of our series of climate leadership classes at Chesapeake College. Okay. That's it for me.
Any questions for Laura? All righty. Have you any comments?
Just one. Sure. You're familiar with my proximity of my business park next to my neighbor, Brian Brushmiller. There's times, and Billy can elaborate on this, there's times when they have weekend events and they need overflow parking. Of course, with my position here on council, I'm unable to rent that property to him. But he is going ahead. Both Brian and Nicole Brushmiller, I have a check here for Worcester Youth and Family Counseling for $1,000. And the chief said that he would be gracious enough to accept this on their behalf since Steve Taylor's out of the area. So I just wanted to let them know.
Chief's been very active on that board.
Yes, he is.
Many years.
There you are, sir.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You got a pose for the picture. Josh stood.
Josh, you're not quick enough.
Come on now. Oh, comments. No, I have no comments. Thank you.
I just have one comment that I found out today. I don't know if Ms. Grace wants to talk about it or not, but we have a problem on Shell Street in back of her house. She's losing her backyard again, and that was part of the drainage that we corrected. Mm-hmm. And where she lives, she gets bulk of the water from the whole town of Berlin ends up going in the back of her house. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way it can get to Trap Creek. And that ditch is caving in. I haven't looked at it yet. I'm going to look at it tomorrow, but mm-hmm. we need to get the engineer here and take a look at it, because all the water, I'm talking about from every part of Berlin, comes in the back of her eyes. That's the only way it can get to Trap Creek. And it's starting to take some of her property away. That's the same problem she had before. Miss Grace
Pratt. And where about in the back of your house is it falling?
The whole back of my house, the bridge, the ditch has collapsed. And Shell if Street. It rained at night, we're probably going to get flooded. I mean, the ditch is full of grass and dirt.
And that's where we did all the repairs.
And that ditch bank was supposed to be
reinforced.
Reinforced.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Were you able to do that, Jamie?
And made
yes,
it stable.
I've ordered a stone to riprap it.
Yeah, you've been looked at it already.
It's all
right?
Ordered. I've been out there. It's got to get here.
It's just right across from me.
So it's up something, would you have an idea if we're talking a matter of days or weeks or what?
I'm hoping this week. I was hoping I could get it here tomorrow, but I won't know until the morning.
The biggest challenge, we haven't forgotten it, and I'm sure she might feel like we have, but the biggest challenge we've got is it's wet, and when it, you know, at least it stopped raining for a little bit. So we would go to move it, go to put the stone in, and because of the rain, it was really challenging to get back to that back part of the property. So because if it doesn't rain for a little while, we should be able to get back there.
Because the old side of the property belongs to the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we need to be
investment
on,
there too.
You have to be on her side to do the work properly.
Right.
And I was hoping I can catch her before she leaves and I can talk to her for a minute.
Excuse me, we're having a hard time hearing the council and the mayor back here. Several of us have said that. I mean, I don't know if you need to turn the mics up.
No.
Or talk into them.
You can't hear me talking. Are you saying you can't hear me talking at this level?
Yeah.
All right. Is that any better? Okay, thank you.
Now, Miss Grace.
Oh, usually people say yes. They can hear me no matter what. Because
You'll get in touch with Mr. Jamie before you leave?
They were out there yesterday.
But just before
and
you leave today?
I thought they would do something today. And if it rains tonight, I've been flooded before. I've been coming here for 30-some years. And my yard is constantly getting eaten away, but it's collapsed, man. And anybody that wants to look, but
yeah.
It was five people out there the day before to look at it, and I thought something would be done today.
They said
I suggest, it sounds like to me that just the communications break down, so if you could... Could you just talk, Jamie, just make sure you and Ms. Purnell just talk.
I don't need to talk. I need something done.
I know, but he's the man who's going to do the work. He's the man who's going to do the work and telling us when he can do it. He has these older the materials. That's who, you know, going out there over and over again is not going to change it, but getting the person who's head of public works there, who knows about the problem and can explain it, that's why our town employees do what they do.
You got to have some.
What you're saying there, but yeah. I was told in December. I was asked what did I want done. I'm not an engineer. That was December. This is April. And part of my backyard is gone.
Jamie, are you going to have some kind of permission to get on her property?
Well, that's I do. Yeah. I mean, that's what I wanted to talk to her because that's what I need. I need something to, because we're going to have to go across her back of her yard.
You're
right.
Welcome.
Okay.
I'll look for you tomorrow.
All right. Okay.
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything? Okay. All right. Next, do we have anyone here who would like to address the council about any concern or comments? Yes, sir.
Yes, I'll make this brief, but maybe I shouldn't be doing it here because I don't want to put Ivy and Arnett on the spot. I was talking to a couple.
If you don't mind, what we always do is just state your name and address.
I'm Jim McMahon. I live over near Buckingham Elementary School. Yeah. Okay, I thought you knew that.
No, but here's the it's the for record. So everybody.
I am.
Yeah, it's just.
I was talking to a couple of the craftspeople in town. Who make jewelry, make woodworks, do artwork and so forth and so on. And it is my understanding that they have now been shut out of a few of the some of the events that are going in town. One in being the wine and jazz festival. I know they have Friday nights, okay, and they're allowed to set up on Franklin Street. And I'm just talking on behalf of them, okay? Don't shoot the messenger. If I'm wrong, then maybe we can clarify that somehow with the craftspeople. They feel they're being shut out of some of the major events that are going on in town. And who can let us, they're not pointing fingers or anything, they just would like to know why there are only two or three events that they are allowed to set up at. And I understand that they pay $100 to do that, which to me is revenue into the town, which helps pay for the cleanup.
If I may,
thank you.
The town does just a few of the events that the town does. I don't accept vendors at all. The events that you're referring to are probably the chamber events, and you should probably talk to Larnette about that. The art and wine, I'm sorry, the jazz and blues, wine and brews is a chamber event. Fiddler's Convention is a chamber event. Spring Celebration is a chamber event. The town does Oktoberfest, the Christmas events, New Year's Eve, Touch a Truck. What am I forgetting?
Losers.
No, it's chamber.
Reggae Play Day.
Reggae Play Day is the town with Ocean 98. But other than that, they're the chamber events.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, sir.
It's good. Just
name and address, please.
Oh, my name is Donald Fletcher, and I live at 257 Powell Circle, Berlin.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to figure out the budget that you are proposing. Mm-hmm. And so I have to ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
And one of the questions is, what is the total property sector assessed value that you're basing your rates against?
Okay. All right. Right now, for this, for the new year, right now it's $399 million. Next year it'll be $428.3
million. $399 million right now, but how much for the 2019 budget?
$428.3 million.
Okay.
And so we're finally back to where we were in 2009. it's, you know, it went down considerably, and now it's finally built back to where it was.
Okay.
So just there's some perspective. I mean, we're gaining back assessed value and property taxes that for 5 years we actually lost revenues. 3 years between 140 and 190,000. And so, you know, it's just like everything else. As the economy goes up and down, so is our property assessments. So they'll finally be back to where they were basically 10 years ago. And then anything, if we get more, obviously we're always hoping that the assessments go up, then it'll be plus. We'll start to actually be in a plus category compared to where we were.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Next question is, what is the real shortfall that you have to make up? You had 5 years of not looking at it.
In the general fund, it's $1.8 million.
I had 1.1, but
it's 1.8.
So if your budget, according to the papers, the previous year was $7 million, and your budget for this proposed 2020 is $5.9 million, you've shortchanged yourself by $1.1 million. So why would you even want to? I don't understand that. That's what I read the paper. I don't understand that number. You said somebody's quoted in the paper that the budget for the previous year was $7 million, but you only want to propose a budget now, correct me if you will, of $5.9 million.
That's correct.
For so the general fund. You're changing the amount of revenue by $1.1 million.
That's the proposed amount of reducing expenses from what they were, and that's been, the irony is the budget has been going down for at least three, maybe four consecutive years. The peak was 20 something million.
Yeah.
And so now, overall, this year, we're talking 18.1 million. So it just, you know, have been continuing to reduce the overall budget. And reasons, you know, is that this is as far as we could go without raising taxes.
Okay, what I don't understand is, I'm confused.
Sure.
Is that the paper says, and I didn't look on the website.
That's is that the percentage? I don't know the percentage off the top of my head.
That's where my confusion comes
from. Reassessment was 7.3%
in reassessment. Okay. So, the last question is, I'll have to go back into the drawing board. I figured that you were like somewhere around $900,000 as a shortfall, but you just corrected that. The budget, the rate that you're now proposing, the assessed tax rate that you're now proposing, is 29.41%. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Is that going to cover the total shortfall?
It would mean no more borrowing from reserves.
Okay.
Yes, that's why it was proposed 1 year. Yes, ma'am.
Why do we, as taxpayers, have to take care of what you guys did? Because small leaks sink big ships. As I went through today and I went through these budgets, I'm sorry, none of my employees have SAM clubs.
What?
SAM clubs memberships of almost $2,000 for our town. The small little things that I went through today, I was like, excuse me, are you kidding me? I struggle here as a business owner. Struggle. I struggled here for 17 years. And I have to see this. And I'm sorry, it makes me sick.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. Did we get your name?
Oh, Michelle Bruder. I own Bruder Hill, 25 Commerce Street, Berlin, Maryland.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. We all know it's, but thank you.
I have a little problem with over a 29% increase in my taxes. I mean, the council and you, Mayor, are the ones that screwed this all up. So how come we got to make it up at one time? How come the taxpayers' backs are being broken to fix your screw up? I want to know that.
Well, the other option is that we go incrementally increase the taxes, let's say over 3 years. And that would mean continuing to borrow from reserves for three more years before we stop that.
That's not the answer to the question I asked. How come would the taxpayers have to hook the bill for the screw-up that the mayor and council did? You know? I mean, this is ridiculous. Under your proposed tax increase, my taxes are going to go up over $600 a year. Now, like I said, the last meeting I was in here and you were talking about this budget, I already pay more to the town of Berlin than I pay to the county and state combined. I think it's a little ridiculous that I'm going to have to pay $600 more in my taxes. You're going to price everybody out of this area.
We're going to become a snow hill.
Now, this is ridiculous. A lot of the people in this town that you like to say is so quaint and everything are retired on a fixed income. I mean, a $600 increase all at one whack. I think that's kind of ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous that we got to have a $600 increase anyway for something that the taxpayers had nothing to do with.
Larry, are you sure he is $600?
According to what was on the paper, in the paper and on your website with the value of your home, that's what it was going to be. It was going to be at least $600. You know, I'm retired. I'm not paid out of money. I belong to a lot of civic organizations around here to help this area. And I think it's a crying shame that even if you're not retired, if you're young and you've got a family, you're going to price everybody right out of this town. This is ridiculous. Get rid of some of these white elephants you bought. With expanding. Every time you annex something or build something else, you gotta increase all the utility fees because now you've got extra draws on all the utilities and you gotta run the lines and everything else.
That's just not true. The developer pays for everything, I know it. I can tell you right now, any growth that this town received, like Oceans East, has brought revenue to this town and not had any other expenditures.
Who's paying for the spray irrigation fields?
We all are, because that town, we had to do that years and years and years ago because we ran out of capacity. We also couldn't build another house on existing homes and existing lots are in this town. Everybody wanted to get a spray irrigation facility to get out of the stream. It was a good idea. It was extremely expensive, and apparently operating had become even more expensive than we anticipated. That's the number one issue we got, and we're still trying to figure it out.
So you increase
but what happened was, in one, let me finish, please, Corey. Let me just finish. In 1 year, our deficit at that place went to $1.1 million, and that's when it really, the wheels came off. We're still going to talk about that on the 15th. We need to know why, but we also need to fix it before it bleeds too much more. The developer pays for everything, I can tell you. The only thing you're getting from a new development in this town like Oceans East is revenue to help the residents in this town spread that cost out and pay for that sewer plant. Not a single dime, but that line got run out there for two reasons. Two schools is the only reason the sewer line got out there, but it got there. and had enough capacity left in it to serve that development. That annexation is a big deal to this town. It's helping us all out.
And just
absolutely, it's revenue with no expense.
Evidently, that's not it's true. Not helping us a whole lot since we're going to have a 29-something% increase. And now you're still talking about increasing electric rates.
No.
Nobody said nothing for electric.
We're not
talking
about electric rates at all.
But
let's make that clear. How about utility and stormwater?
Yes.
You're going to increase.
That's correct. 10% in water rates, 20% in sewer rates, and stormwater rates will go from $50 a year for residential customers up to $100, and for all the commercial users, it'll go from a 30% increase.
I think we should recognize the lady at the desk. She's the only one called here like she's supposed to.
My name is Deborah Fletcher. I thought the meeting at Stephen Decatur, the speaker from the real estate industry, and, you know, one of my neighbors that was on the verge of tears concerning the increase in tax rate and trying to sell homes. And people maybe saying, well, maybe I need to try to sell my home and move to Delaware or move somewhere else that I can afford. So from a real estate standpoint, if it's hard to sell homes, you can annex all you want, you know, they're going to be hard to sell.
Can we wait?
It's going to be hard to sell new homes. It's going to be hard to sell existing homes when people
Mr. Mayor, can we ask her to wait for a moment?
Such an expensive
ma'am?
Tax rate.
She's got to go 1.5 more times.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, let this lady get.
All right, thank you. Jason? My name's Kim Holloway. I live at 107 Davis Court, Berlin. I have a couple of questions for the council tonight. I'm not sure that you can answer them, but I know the department heads are here and the town attorney's here, et cetera, and Ms. Allen's here, so hopefully you can do that. So my first question is, what is the town's policy on property owners that do not pay their taxes? Or more specifically, on houses that are abandoned, what's the town's policy where that is concerned?
We put a lien on the property.
They go to tax sale, and it's actually run by the Worcester County seller or something. Tax.
Okay. So do we use that policy?
I mean, in other words, when it goes to sale is when we get our taxes, but who knows when that will be. Sometimes it's relatively quickly, and sometimes it's years.
Okay. So
but we do get the taxes eventually that we're owed.
Okay, so I mean, I'm asking sort of because in regards to the house that was on Washington Street that was abandoned for so long that no one was there for, I mean, I talked to several people on Washington Street and it had been condemned or abandoned for some 13 years. And in speaking to some of those people that live there, they told me that a sign had gone up on the door in approximately 2013 that stated that they would be levied $100 a day as a fine for not taking care of their property and the property being deemed abandoned. So since 2013 to 2019. So for nearly two decades, the taxes weren't paid. There was a levy for $100 a day put on the house. Neighbors had to endure this eyesore for that long. And then I also learned that in the end, the property was eventually sold for $125,000. How much of that money did the town recoup for the unpaid taxes and the fines that were levied against the property?
Taxes were paid.
And then the levy, the $100 a day?
I can't speak to that, but I know the taxes were paid every year.
And here's, just so you know, the only legal alternative we have, and we have not done this, I think people who were down to, I think, about 12, what we call under rundown properties in town, 12. There used to be 12 in every neighborhood, just not that many years ago. But what our policy has been, we could legally seize those properties and tear those places down, and we're not going to do that because they're beautiful homes once they're restored. And there were dozens and dozens not too long ago. Now we're down to literally 12, and our, I think in the long run it's worked because places I thought never would be, you know, not my lifetime revitalized, have turned out to be wonderful, but you can't force the private sector to do something that it's not ready to do. Now, because there's so few left, and actually there's more rundown properties west of 113 than there are east of 113, that's another misnomer, that now that this is down to fewer and fewer of these properties, that some builders are buying them on speculation, improving them, and then selling them on the market for more money than anybody ever thought it could be worth.
Okay,
so it's a process.
But my question really is that, in the end, this house was sold for $125,000, and when the owner of that house went and got their check for that house that the neighbors had to look at for 16 years in a complete wreck, the neighbors had to wait 16 years for something to be done. And when that house got sold, she went to the bank and held out her hand and got her money. And I want to know why Berlin's hand wasn't out getting the money that they owed for the $100 a day that was levied against them.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know.
I heard that they were excused from these fines, the people that owned the house.
No.
But if the sign is posted on the door that they're going to be fined this amount, and it sits there for that long, and the house is sold, and the owner steps up and says, "Where's my money?" I want to know where Berlin's at saying, "Well, where's our money?" Because you were assessing that fine on them, and they got to walk away, money in hand, 16 years of looking at a wrecked of a home that's finally getting redone. I mean, I just think it's terrible. So my second question is, how many homes or how many mortgages property owners in Berlin are not paying their taxes, that they're getting away with this, and we are not? How many delinquent property tax people do we have in this town? Because you're talking about promoting and putting out for a lousy $75 business license, run their hardworking business names out there, when the people that aren't paying their taxes, they're the names that should be put out there, not these poor people that are trying to run a business.
Those names are.
Yeah, they're posted.
They're posted every year.
In the newspaper every year.
So how many delinquent taxpayers do we have in this town?
Yep, we can find that information and not only get it to you, but get it, you know, out publicly.
But when they auction those homes off for that amount that's owed, you can go and bid on those down at the county. Anybody in the room, anybody that would like to spend the money for that tax bill, can go down there and bid on those properties for that rate.
But I want to know where the...
It comes back to the town.
There's supposed to be money that you guys are charging them for these broken down properties, and you're going, "Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it." And in the meantime, we're sitting here facing a 30% tax increase. When they're holding their money hand out for money, you should be holding your hand out for money as well. That's my gripe where that is concerned. So I just wondered if the appropriate actions were being taken and the money was actually being collected, because from what I've heard from the people in Washington Street, they were like, that's okay, don't worry about it, sell the property, and now there are people that are fixing that up. I just think that that's wrong when we're sitting in this financial situation. In my case, in speaking with the tax increase, our current assessment for our taxes with your tax rate increase are expected to go up by $700 a year. Add that to our Berlin tax bill for 2018 of $2,098.48, and that gets us up to just short of $2,800, and that's $233 per month in town taxes alone. Then we add in our taxes for Worcester County, which is another $2,576. And our grand total is at $5,375. Over 12 months puts us at $450 a month in taxes alone. Our town of Berlin utilities total $3,152. And when we get around to raising those utility rates, and I just heard you're not going to raise the electric rates, but the sewer and the other rates will go up. Even if I take 10% of that, and that's, I'm sure, an arbitrarily low number, that'll add another $315 to our total. So this is what us costing us to live in Berlin. Taxes are $2,800. Utilities are $3,400 for a grand total of $6,266, or $522 a month in taxes and utilities. We've been proud Berlin residents since 2002. We hold down two jobs. My husband has volunteered in this community since we moved here. We have two sons in college, and we consider ourselves fairly young and active, but we are being sucked dry by this town. I can't imagine what the elders of this community are going through with fixed incomes, and I don't see how they can possibly do it. I get zero pleasure from this tax increase because there are no added services. We're not getting any new programs. You're cutting events that bring revenue to this town, and that's all because the taxes we have been paying to this town have not been spent responsibly, nor have our leaders paid attention to the situation we're currently in until we are in a desperate situation, and the only solution is to pass it on to us with an enormous tax increase. Getting back to my point regarding abandoned houses and residents not paying taxes, that burden becomes our burden. This town and its government and management need to put the ball in motion and be steadfast in the collection of any and all money by way of liens or whatever it takes to make them pay their share, just the way we responsible citizens of this town do as well. Thank you.
Ms. Holloway?
Yes.
You brought up some valid points. Could you email that to us, please,
yes.
All of us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I promised Jason Walter that he's been patient.
I wanted to confirm that what Troy was saying is pretty much correct on Ocean's East. It's paid its way. But I had a question about the spray site. And when we started the new spray site, we still had, I don't know if we do, but we had a valid discharge permit for the creek. Correct? Okay. Now, did we simply shut down the discharge and go all spray?
So we're talking.
I thought it was an all or nothing deal.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. We had to get out of
the creek.
We could stay in the creek. We just couldn't add new capacity to the creek. It was new creek load. The issue. We couldn't add more. We were fine with what we had.
Well, I don't know. We were fine. I mean,
I thought we were mandated to get out of the creek.
We were mandated. We couldn't increase the load of the creek. So you couldn't put new capacity out.
They were.
So I don't think
we
all
of
that was a mandate.
Yeah.
I think we just
kind of
did
that. Now, the town's still got an 800,000-gallon-a-day
discharge permit that's not active. And this way, at least it's my understanding from talking to, I can't tell you how many people, not just individually but in groups, that there's been a mandate to not put any more of our wastewater discharge after it's treated into any of the coastal bays.
Right, no additional.
And that's why the additional spray irrigation, because the one we had couldn't handle any more, so that's why the additional one had to be done, and the closest property that anybody would even willing to sell was Newark.
Right, that was to match the capacity of the new plant.
That's correct. Because we were under a court order. We, this is the thing people don't realize. We couldn't grow even if we wanted to, and it was people wanted to grow because of court order. That's federal court order, not district order.
No, And no debate there, but my question is, we abandoned the valid permit, and instead of incrementally going to spray, we went head first into it.
Yes, that's correct.
We wasted a lot of money.
It costs us a lot more money than what we were told it would cost. Yeah, it costs a lot more than what we have been told and what we were expecting. And it seemed to go up, then it leveled off, and then the second time it went up, it just went up more than, it's still shocking. And that's one of the things that we want to see, what can we do to reduce those costs, but still not put any discharge into the coastal bays.
So it's a new discharge.
New discharge. Yes.
We abandoned what we had entirely on the coast.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
I think maybe that was a mistake.
Well, it depends on your point of view, and I think that's something that
I'm looking at the dollars right now.
I know.
I mean, sure, it sounds great to get out of it, but to say, hey, we can go this direction, major, maybe that was appropriate.
Again, that's a judgment call that, I think there's people who are very passionate just as much also about being good environmental stewards. And, we've been trying to do that.
Huh? That's not the debate. The stewardship is not the debate.
But that's that was the reason for that approach. It wasn't just out of nowhere. Where was this? This is very,
the other question, we talked about a lot of stuff the other day, right, Kuro?
Oh, yeah.
Did you look at any of that?
I looked at a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out every way to figure out how to make this work. I'm still trying to figure out what's wrong in a couple of instances. We all are. And we're all working pretty diligently, all of them.
I sent Zach a couple of budgets that I brought up at the Tuesday session.
Oh, there's places to cut. Every time you need, you cut a service.
Well,
we've cut off a lot of them
far. Anybody in particular is not doing what they should with the $2 million bloat and payroll accounts. There's got to be room to chop a head or two.
That's just it. We're talking about people. People in employees
in
a job that are doing a service. This is exactly what we talked about. If we have the people we need and the staff that we need right now, then we're going to have to continue to pay them, or we're going to lose a service or a level of service. Yeah, I've looked at the single streaming thing. I've looked at the solar power you were talking about, too. I've looked at the cut job positions. There's nothing we have not looked at.
But you don't need people driving around checking trash cans to make sure they've been dumped in a city truck all day long. You don't need that. You don't need to pay people to do that stuff. And that's what I see all day long. I mean, all day long. I walk Franklin Knowles. I'm up and down the streets. And they're following trash trucks.
I will say that I was out and about today, and I saw every person that I encountered with the town, and I saw five or six of them working down at Stephen Decatur Park today, working hard. So I think that there are areas we need to look at to cut. I don't think that there are departments as far as personnel, but I am working hard, and I think all of us are. I know I'm speaking for everyone at this point, but I think we're all working hard, not cutting individuals, but cutting expenses.
And I see just the opposite. There's Jamie right there, in charge of public works. I always see those guys working. Am I right, Jamie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, my only point on that is that if you got a bigger town that's got a much smaller payroll, there's something in there to figure out.
Sure.
And we got a great police station now, right? Fantastic. We spent about $3 million on it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We paid for that with what we get from casino revenue. There's no bonding, correct?
That's how we're paying the debt.
Because it appears to me that we may have gone a little bit more than the couple $100,000 we got since we broke ground on that in casino revenues to pay for it. So do we have an accounting for
yes.
the building?
Basically, this has been the judgment. As the revenues have gone up over what was originally projected, we've been taking that money and paying down the debt so that the debt is being retired faster than we originally planned. So originally, it was about going to take 12 years. Then it looked like it was 10. If casino revenues stay on their current level, which I can't guarantee, but they do, then we might be closer to getting that down to 8. We also, of course, then have the Berlin Fire Company who says, no, take some of that money from the casino and buy fire equipment. There is more demands on the money we have than there is money. And they're not silly things. They're just...
Right. I think that's my point again is, how much have we spent so far versus what we've received in casino revenues? Are those equal dollars? Is it one-to-one? We get a dollar in casino money, we spend a dollar in the police station.
You have to build a police station all at once. So we spent a little over $3 million.
Okay.
It's being paid down at a little over an average.
Where did the money come from?
The general fund.
Yeah.
That's why it's $3 million shorter in that category.
Okay, well, then to come back to us and say that we got to pay 29% more to make up for that, no. That's irresponsible. You should have bonded. You have a 50-year structure you're trying to pay off in 12 years. If you bond that for 25 years, you've got a lot of free money. Not free money, but money that you can use. You don't have to draw it all out of the general fund at once. You understand what I'm saying? You have plenty of money. It's the way that you're using it. Okay? That's the problem here. It's not that you need more from us. It's how you're applying the dollars that you have. There's no sense at all to pay off a 50-year structure and you need none.
I can tell you that has been thought about and talked about, and it still is in discussion.
Thanks.
It's going to.
Yes.
My understanding is that we're going to pay that back to the general fund.
But is that what's happening?
The casino. Yes. I know. This is about the casino money. We're saying that our understanding is that we take that money to pay down the debt.
You don't have a debt.
Yeah.
I can't hear you talking.
Yeah. I can't even hear you there.
There we go. How's that?
Get closer. Yeah, get closer.
Okay. So you don't have any debt, right? Basically, you collected the slots money, which is the money from the casino. You use it to pay for the property. And then it collected up again and used it to pay down a portion of the building. And then you agreed to allocate that money as it's coming in to rebuild the reserves or rebuild the general fund, which we estimate would take anywhere from 8 to 10 years, depending on how well the casino does. If the casino does better and the town gets more in impact grant money or slots money, then that payback happens over a shorter period of time. But it's all internal within the general fund.
So it's going back in?
Yeah, it's going back in.
Yeah, it looks like this year, for my calculations, it's probably going to be about 385,000.
Could be.
And on one other note, Jane, of course, is retiring, and I guess you're looking for a new head. My recommendation is that man right there, Jane.
Thank you.
Very
good suggestion.
I have one quick question. Mr. Dowdy, do you have to cover calls to Oceans East?
Yes.
Does the fire department cover Oceans East?
Yes. Right.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
One last question, Jay.
Sure.
According to the assessed values that was disclosed,
actually, if you go into our budget that's posted to our website, and I can show you where you can see that,
okay.
I can show you where that $1.8 million shortfall sits.
I calculated it based on the assessment.
Understood.
The property is $3.7 million, which is $1.8 million more than $1.
Yeah, I'd be happy to look at your calculation.
Okay, I'll look at your calculation. Thank you.
Yes, please, Marie.
I have a couple of comments. Thank you. One, you all complained about the participation of the citizens, and they have come the last several meetings and said things, and it appears like you're still going to go about doing what you set out to do to begin with. So what is the point of us coming and expressing ourselves with anguish to you, and you do nothing? You don't change your mind. Making the little cuts you are isn't going to help us do this. 29% is too high. You were able to drop our taxes in 2013 from 73 to 68. How did that happen? Why didn't we have this problem then? My other question is, why now? What made this happen now? Why this year? You had 4 years of pulling from the reserves. What is the big emergency of replacing all of that money in 1 year? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like there's something else going on
there. They're not replacing all the money in 1 year. We're stopping any continued borrowing from general fund. That's the reason the rate has been proposed, the revenue's been proposed, so no further general fund borrowing would have to continue in the next fiscal year that begins July 1.
Well, maybe you have to think about continuing to borrow from the reserves and doing it incrementally so it doesn't hurt us. I mean, from what I understand, you have 5 months of reserves. I know I don't have 5 months of reserves to support me. That should be something that you guys can take care of and make it slow. You don't have to do this all at once. If you've got money coming from the casino and it's increasing, you have things that are paying it down as you go. So why take it all now? You don't have to do it, especially when you're going to raise water, wastewater, stormwater, and I don't care what you say about the electric. I know they're doing meetings at the Public Service Commission where they're trying to loosen the way that they can raise the rates. So whether that affects us or not, I don't know, but it's going to affect other people. So, I mean, you can't do this all at once. It's unconscionable to do it. You have got to rethink this plan. You only have working people here. I'm not rich. 3/4 of these people have no money like that to just come up with. We didn't get a $600 raise this year. You've got to rethink this.
Kim Mumford, 106 Bone Drive. I want to echo what Ms. Elam was saying. If someone could answer me, how many tax properties, I want to say at least 1,600, correct? Or more?
I don't know off the top.
Okay. So I did my quick math on 1,600 tax properties, and I averaged a $500 increase because, as Ms. Holloway stated, she's gone up 700, this gentleman's gone up 600, we're going up somewhere in the 600 range at a 29% increase. So my quick math goes like this. If we're getting 350,000 average, maybe a little bit more, from casino revenues, 800,000 at 1,600 tax properties at an average of 500, that's 1.1 million right there. That's 1 year. So if we've been borrowing from the general fund for the past, what, how many, 4 or 5 years?
5 years. At least five, yes.
Okay. My echoed sentiment to Ms. Elam is, if we're borrowing that many years, dipping into the fund, why do we have to go, I mean, 1.1 million, and how much did we say we needed to pay that? 1.8?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Jennifer Brady, Navinor. I would echo both of these ladies and ask as passionately as possible for some sort of incremental change. I am a resident of a business owner and operator. And I would also like to ask a question about New Year's Eve. I've been publicly requested that that event be put back in budget. What happens from here with that request?
Basically, as with council, continues to meet, the mayor and council meet and discuss these. The next we discuss the utilities, and then we have to take the information we've got and from the department heads at each of those two meetings, and then we have to make some decisions about what level of spending, what level, if any, from borrowing, continuing to borrow money from ourselves, from the general fund, and how quickly to do both. How quickly, and that's what I'm talking about in terms of the incremental rate. That's another thing that can be considered. But you know, we started the process much earlier this year because we knew we had this very tough situation.
So you will reconvene and discuss events and budget and borrowing, and hopefully a small incremental tax increase if needed that we can all handle. Again, I will echo, you have told us our silence.
June 10th.
Yeah, it's the middle of June when the final budget is passed, but it won't be the next discussion. The discussion will happen as we have our first two work sessions, and then it will be discussed in public meetings.
Okay.
And again, all I can say is we're doing it earlier, the whole process earlier, and we're having, you know, because of this very, you know, unfortunate situation, and what we'll do is, you know, continue to. It won't be like a surprise. You know, I think we're putting out everything as it's being proposed. You have to start somewhere. So, we're at the beginning, and we've discussed the general fund. Now we'll have the beginning of the utilities or enterprise funds, and then we'll have to say, okay, what can give? What can be done here? What can be done there? And again, it'll be all the discussion is right here in this room.
Thank you.
Yes. And Jen, you ask what happens when a department proposes something and they put a price tag to it. At least in my head, what I'm thinking is how many homes would not have to have a tax increase if I approve X or Y percent. So I'm thinking about everything in those terms.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I don't feel that
like to understand more why, as the other woman said, why it's such an emergency this year. Maybe we didn't need the police department. Maybe we could have just ran out of the downtown facility for a little bit longer. Maybe we could have did something different here. Maybe we could have done something different there. I don't think any of us have confidence in a lot of you guys are saying, with all due respect, because you're the ones that got us into this mess, and now you're putting it on us to get you out of it. And I think that's very unfair. I like this town. I've lived here now for 4 years. My son's going to go to Buckingham. He's 3 years old. Just went there today to see if I could get him in the early pre-K program. But I'm upset, and I'm not happy. And I don't mean this as a threat, Mayor. You seem like a very nice guy, but elections have consequences. And I think if you don't really look really hard at what you guys are doing up there and figuring out something different, this town may not be looking and feeling the same that it does, you know, this time going on right now. So I just really plead and beg you guys up there, really think about what you're doing. Really think about what you can do differently. And then maybe we'll have a little bit of a better result. We can all be kind of work on this, you know, problem together. But I don't really feel like there's going to be a lot of change based on all these people coming. And, you know, I'm here, so let's try to work on it and do something differently. I think it's a little bit of a cop-out to say that people haven't shown up to these meetings in the past. You guys, we elect you to figure this stuff out. And now we're here, so let's work on it together and figure it out. But I don't, I pass the buck on us because we don't show up to meetings. I think it's very, very not in the light of what I would think elected officials would say. So that's all I have to say. But I really hope and plead that you guys will help us work on this program and get this done together.
I would like to say one thing. I'm probably the oldest council member up here, or not the oldest council member up here, but held office the oldest. I think people are forgetting that we live here too. I'm a citizen here. I've been paying taxes for years. Some of us have businesses. They're paying taxes. So when we consider all this stuff, we're not just looking at considering it for one or two people. It's all of us. All of us are in this together. So don't think we're not listening to everything that you say. We might not be able to do everything that everybody wants us to do, but we do consider what everybody said, and I think Dean was the one to ask people to start coming to the meetings. And we're glad you're coming so we can hear some input.
Yes,
sir. So act on it.
Well, give us time. We will.
We have that public hearing for probably about 200 people. And as other people have said, there were heart-wrenching stories in it. Okay? People crying. And Mayor, at the first work session, you sit down and open your meeting and ask for 29% raise. You're responsible.
Deborah Fletcher again.
Yes.
I just would like to add, okay, you bought the property, Tyson Plant. Personally, I don't think we need another park. It just means more employees and more maintenance and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, $124,000 to tear down the buildings and everything. And you yourself said, Mr. Williams, that you have looked at that since you were a child. Well, can't we just look at it for some time more and not spend money that doesn't have to be spent today?
Yes. I guess, yeah, Larry. Yes.
I would just like to comment on what you said about we could all go down to Snow Hill and pick up those houses and tax sales.
Oh, yes.
Now, what kind of fool would go down there and buy another house in this town if you're going to raise our taxes 30%? Now, what kind of fool would have to do that?
I can't answer it that, will. But I'm just saying the process.
They're loaded down there.
And then you're going to raise the fees on top of it? Not even for a rental property would I go down there and buy one. Matter of fact, what they're saying about it's going to be hard to sell a house in this town, so you're going to have a lot of defaults on stuff because people aren't going to be able to afford their mortgages and their taxes. So I'm echoing everything that's been said in here. You need to rethink how you're going to do this.
That's a good question. I would say multiple years, I'm guessing between maybe 7-8 years, something of that.
She just told you what it would be. It was 1.8.
So, to build the reserves back to where they were.
Yeah.
But they've gone up and down over time, but now they're going to at a level that we don't feel comfortable.
Okay, so after we replace these funds, what are you going to do with this extra $600-$700 in taxes every year?
This is the interesting thing, is that is the level it takes to provide the level of services that everyone more than expects. I mean, none of the things we have provided came up as just an idea out of blue. They're being trying to respond to all the things that people expect the town to do now, that and at a level of service that was not, couldn't even be dreamed of that many a few years ago.
Well, I still think that all these meetings, I said this at the last council meeting, all these meetings you're having are falling on deaf ears. You've already made up your mind what you're going to do.
No, I haven't.
You came out and said 29% at that meeting.
That's the mayor's first suggestion.
Yes, that's a place to start. We have to have something. If we don't have, you can't do a budget if you have some, don't have any idea what the revenues of the taxes will be. But if you say something, and that's my responsibility to put something out there, then everybody can get a feel for, okay, is it too much? Is it not enough? Do we have to get adequate revenues? Will we replenish the general fund in a reasonable time? But there has to be a place to start. And that's the reason for the first
29%. I think that's a hell of a place to start. Because next time you're going to come up and say, "Oh, we need another 20% for something else." You know, your price fast. Like what you're saying, you guys, there's elections coming up, and so you better start listening to the people that come to these meetings and figure out something.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Samantha Fields-Pick, I live at 3D Gator Street. I wanted to ask, you keep talking about the reserves need to be replenished. Can you tell us where the reserves are now and where they were perhaps before we started the spray irrigation, which is what level the reserves were at? And if you have to do it as a percentage, I understand that. You know, if you have $1 million budget, your reserves are this percent. Do you happen to know what the – I'm trying to figure out what the target – that we're trying to hit to reestablish
reserves is? It's approximately, and again, without the figures right in front of me, it's approximately right now at about just over $3 million, right?
Yep.
By the end of this fiscal year, it'll be about $2 million. That's a much bigger borrowing from the general fund than what we had anticipated when we set the budget.
So now, at the end of 2019, you're currently estimating that your reserve balance will be at $2 million.
Yeah, give or take a little, one, you know.
What's your target to replenish to? Like, what do you want in reserves?
Well, I would like to see it get back to around, you know, $4.5 million. I think that is reasonable without just putting away money. There's trying to find a balance, like in all things. And I think that's a good balance. We had that amount. We've had that amount up and down. But I think at this point we can't take any more from reserves than what we'll take at the end of this year. Now, there is a number of folks here that think, okay, let's reduce it a little more for a couple years so that we can phase in the property taxes. That's something we'll look at and say, okay, at this rate, how much lower do the reserves go? At this rate, how much do they go? But we have to start somewhere. And that's why I propose something that gives everything, I think, everyone a perspective as to what are we talking about here, how much money, and what is being done with it. And the interesting thing is the message, again, totally agree about the message that, you know, don't raise the property taxes any more than you have to. At the same time, we're also saying, people are telling us, but we want more streets done. We want them done faster, and that's multi-million dollars. and flooding. They want us to attack the flooding much more aggressively, and that's multi-million dollar. Million. I mean, $100,000 doesn't hardly do anything. So, you know, this is a dilemma. I know it's a changing expectations, and we can't make everybody happy. In fact, if we make anybody happy, that will be great. But I think that's one of the things that's changed, is what people expect the town to do that they used to say, nothing can be done. And so we'll find that balance.
May I add something? Can I answer your question quickly? As of our last audit, the estimate was about $2.2 million for 2019 in unassigned general reserves. And the high was in 2016. I assume all these are fiscal years.
Yeah.
Was 6.5, a little north of $6.5 million. I believe you're correct.
Okay. And three I have another
it,
question.
Three of it went to the operational functionality of
and
waste
the other
work.
Went to subsidized
well,
waste
where it went, and that's fine. My second question is, okay, so we want to raise property taxes and water, sewer, stormwater fees. I'm assuming that by the raises in the water, sewer, and water and sewer fees, not the stormwater, you will stop having to borrow based on your estimates for what you're going to raise them to. So you wouldn't have to borrow just with that raise.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yep.
Okay.
For that purpose, for that.
Exactly. Purpose. So if you raise my water and sewer, you won't have to borrow from the general fund. Those that will then cover the costs of those services, right?
Yeah. But we still got to put the money back in the general
fund. I hear you.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make sure that if I pay you more money for my water and sewer, you've stopped having to borrow just from doing that. So then the only reason you're raising the property taxes is to pay back the general fund.
Well, it's not the only, but it's a significant part of it.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a way that when you do the raise or the increase, that when you run the numbers and you go, okay, at this point, based on this increase, our reserve fund will be at $4.5 million. Could you then back off the tax thing, and when you write the tax increase, write that you will stop when you reach this threshold?
That certainly sounds like a very reasonable suggestion to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I said it sounds like a very reasonable suggestion.
I mean, just that you're going to ask us to help fix the problem, and I'm in agreement that it's my problem. It's my town. Your money comes from us. That's how this works. Government doesn't have a magic bag of money. It's my money pays for the government. That's how the government works. So I understand that. So if I pay you, I want to know that you're doing what you're asking me to help fix, and that there's an end to it. It's not like, oh, well, now we're going to
buy some.
And now we're going to, and then I don't ever stop.
And you more and more.
Right, and that I think was what Larry's concern is. Lastly, you originally proposed a two-tiered system for commercial and residential. And when I went to the meeting at Stephen Decatur, I too was affected by my neighbors talking about how upsetting it was to be on a fixed income and have your taxes go up. I don't like the idea, but I'm not at a fixed income, right? So if you could do a two-tiered system with 15, I think I heard that 15% of the properties are commercial and 85% are residential.
That's correct.
Does anybody have any numbers? How many people are over 65? How many property owners are over 65 and how many are under 65?
A lot of them.
Huh?
130.
Approximately
130. Over 60 is about 130.
Okay. So would it be conceivable, and again, you guys, while you're here, to run the numbers, that the tax brackets are actually based on your age. So if you own property in Berlin and you're over X age, you pay less of an increase than if you are below X age. So instead of it being a commercial versus residential tier system, can you look at, and I don't know that this would work, because I don't have any of the data to know how many is what, right? But could you look at that just because, you know, that soldier that has to be in charge to his kids kind of broke my heart.
What's your name?
So
Yeah.
What's your name?
Yeah, it's a good
Samantha.
Samantha what?
Keelstick.
And you live at?
Free Decatur Street.
Thank you.
No, it's a very good suggestion.
Samantha, I'd like to address some of your comments, if I may.
Oh, sure.
I agree with you 100% about the Campions. They were the people up there. Right. They were talking about becoming a charge of their children. The next day, Wednesday afternoon, I went to their home and spent 2.5 hours with them, going over some ideas for them. Now, everybody's pretty familiar with the homestead credit, and we all should have that in here, but I know that we all do not have that in here because I'm the one that prints the tax bills for the county. I do multiple counties in multiple states. I've already looked at those records, and I would suggest all of you please go home and check these things because you all don't have them. Now, for somebody like a senior, there's also something else called a homeowner's credit, totally different. The state basis, the state has a huge department that is geared to do nothing but this. So they'll take into account your net worth, they'll take into account your income, they'll take into account your age. So I'm going to use an easy number. Let's say that your current tax bill for somebody who's 70 is about $1,000. And let's say with this proposed rate, let's say that it jumps it to, let's say, $1,700. The state will come in and they will say, according to our formula, you, as the homeowner, can pay no more than $900. So, of course, we're all wondering, where is that extra money going to come from? Who's going to make that up to the county and who's going to make that up to the town? The state will come back in. They're doing it now. They will pay the county the difference. They will pay the town the difference.
Okay.
But a lot of individuals are not aware of this. There are tax credits for veterans. There are tax credits for blind. And I'm not trying to be smart. You don't need to be totally blind. There's all types of benefits that are out there, but there are a lot of people that just are not looking for them, taking advantage of them. I will get you that information of how to get in touch with the county, and I think it should be on our website so these people can go there and they can find it. There, like I said, there's a department there that does nothing but that. And just for the record, hang on, Don, we're going to do you. Just for the record, I am a business owner. I do not pay as much as some, but I do pay more than most. I am not voting for a two-tiered system. No way.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say that in answer to partly in answer to her question, is there any way that you're going to guarantee the rates will go up? Well, you can't because the cost to operate goes up from year to year. So then you have to take the base where you're. You're trying to recover your losses at this point, and then from year to year, because of the CPIU, because of the cost of products to keep everybody in operation, the costs are going to have to go up from year to year. And this goes back to my original point the last time. Somebody's got to monitor these departments to make sure that we see the break-even points. Okay? And if that isn't if the auditors aren't doing that, I'd get a new set of auditors. And then the other, my only last question is, just for their general fund, what is the debt to equity ratio right now?
I don't know. But we can find out. We can find out and report at the very next meeting.
2014, we had the sixth highest municipal debt in the state.
Excuse me?
In 2014, per capita, our municipal debt was the sixth highest in the state in Maryland. 2014. That's a moving target.
Anyone else? Yes. Yes.
You were saying that the wastewater problems are the irrigation, and that you got wrong numbers. Are we still using the same consultants that we used that gave us those bad numbers?
No.
No.
No. Okay. And the second thing is, why does Berlin Falls Park have someone being paid to develop it? Is that not what David Deutsch is? What is he?
He's a coordinator. He's not the developer. He's
I
understand.
So that the
Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee, all citizens of Berlin, have somewhat to organize and do all the make recommendations or say check this out. I don't expect them as citizens to have to do that.
For the other parks. Why should you have a separate division just for that park?
Because Because it is, first of all, all the effort, I'd say 90% of the effort so far has been trying to make sure it no longer remains an environmental detriment to the town, and that's being very kind. And that's why the decision to remove the abandoned buildings, which don't have any sewer, water hookup, and all the wells have been sealed and closed, the mitigation has been conducted on the ponds. Assuming it doesn't anything, at least it's environmentally neutral, both to the water and to the air in this town, for the first time in over 8 years. So that has been why the investment has been done so far, and it's been done through the borrowing we did so that there was money to purchase it and then to make those corrections. I think the estimate was pretty close that it was going to take. Originally, the estimate said anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000 just to get the basics done, and that's what it's ending up to be. Now, if whatever that park becomes, regardless if it's private sector, public sector, whatever, will be better, because right now, today, it is finally not being hurting this town. I mean, and again, it's a quality of life issue that if you lived in the northern part of town, you knew that extremely well. And it wasn't an inconvenience. It wasn't a nuisance. It was sickening. And it was accepted because people said, there's nothing that can be done. Well, something was done. It wasn't peanuts. And again, what happens with that property will be determined over time. I mean, we haven't said, we won't do this, we will do this. And that's why an advisory committee of citizens was formed so that we could get public input. And it's like anything else. It's almost taking time for people to kind of grasp, hey, it's there, it's real. At first it was almost like, I don't know, stunned, I guess. And now that we've, I guess, made it environmentally neutral, then we have to decide what is its best use for the future, either as a public asset or as a private.
We don't need a person to monitor that every
day, do we? No, he doesn't work every day. And see, he's a contracted employee. And this concept, the idea that he's getting $50,000, just it's about $20,000 a year.
29?
29 to 30. Then I stand corrected. And
I know someplace that this is 50,000.
But that's okay.
Anyway, I don't see the point of it. I think now it's been kind of, we've gotten opinions from a lot of people that if we're cutting, we need to cut and kind of let that on the back burner rather than continually push that and spend money on it. Let it set for a while so you have all of the other finances. Those are all frivolous things that, I mean, if it was my budget, I would say, no, you can't have that temple. You can't make people pay more to have something that's not, I mean, it's going to take forever to get that right anyway. And we don't have the money. I mean, you're saying that now. We do not have the money. I think getting that at a status quo where it's just safe and develop it as you go over the years is the best way to do it right now. So you get this whole deal back on track.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be curious to know how many people are actually using the park. I mean, how many people are walking through there? I don't know of many. I don't ever see a car back there. I don't see the traffic. I don't see any activity back there at all. So I'd be curious to know exactly how many people are, but how many people actually go back there and use the park? And finally, we said it's taken us 4 years to get to this point with the reserve fund. Why can't we take 4 years to replenish that reserve fund?
I think that's something that we need to consider. Yes, Larry.
said that you bought it, you cleaned it up, made it environmentally safe and stuff like that, right?
That's correct.
Why did the town of Berlin have to do that? What's the EPA for?
Wait. But I got it. When that property was purchased originally, it was given a clean bill of health by the EPA at the highest level, because there was no doubt we didn't want to have any Superfund site or any environmental issues whatsoever. What got cleaned up was brush, trees, things like that. There was nothing that was environmentally unsafe at all, or the town never would have taken title to it, I'm sure.
But there was wells, there were wells galore.
Wells and all that stuff.
They were capped, there was no discharge.
It was built. It was built on a system in the 1940s, and it was probably the best they could do back then. But it's sitting. I know people like, it's off the road there. It's still, it has an impact on the community, and has the potential, if we hadn't done what we've done, the EPA, they basically say, fix it, do this, do that. The property was improved significantly once Tyson sold it, and then we continued to make those improvements so that it can never, ever go back to that kind of usage again. It just would not make any financial sense whatever to put any kind of processing plant, rather than seafood or chickens or whatever. It financially, they wouldn't go there. They'd go somewhere else. Thank goodness. That's not the future of our town. But, you know, it's...
Let a developer buy it and turn it into an industrial park or something. Something that looks good and does something else. How come that never happened? I mean, why did we have to buy it and pay for it?
Because nobody else would do it. No one. It's out there for years.
I know. So, I mean, why did we have to sit there for years? Why did we have to buy it?
Because...
Especially when we were in debt.
I got to say, the one thing that I do, I was not involved directly because I couldn't be, but as far as an industrially zoned 63 acres with an 800,000 gallon per day discharge permit, there was interest from industrial processing users at a by right of that property, and I applaud the town for purchasing it because they did the right thing. Nobody wanted to see another chicken plant or a pickle factory or any other industrial use. On the doorstep.
It doesn't have to be a processing plant.
But we have
any industrial use that's by the county zoning.
And by us getting involved, we have control over what it becomes.
And what it doesn't.
And what it can't and can never become. And before, we had no say whatsoever. It wasn't even in the town limits. Wasn't even in the town limits because the town didn't want to have to be responsible for the property. And I think that was a mistake that was made for generations. And yeah, it cost money. It was a big responsibility to take on. But if we hadn't done it, we'd be at the mercy of whoever comes down the road who has no interest in the town of Berlin, who doesn't care if people are sick at night from the stench and not worrying about the contamination. What are they just... They why would they care? They're not responsible for that.
Who would you have been at the mercy of? It's the person that we bought it from, not who was going to go in there. We'd have been at their mercy because they would have sold it. There's the ones that's going to have to say, well, we're going to sell it to this person, or we're going to let this person have it. So don't say that we were at somebody else's mercy. We were at the mercy of who we bought it.
Anyone else? Right?
Correct.
Yeah. Do we have any questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank